Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
Yeah.
And we're still cruising along in the merry, merry month of May.
Oh boy. Yeah, May 14th. Yeah.
So the last half hour we spoke about some election-related things. Mm-hmm. You know, new candidates, departing candidates.
Only one.
So just one. Far. Yeah. We'll see about that. We don't know yet what's going to happen with the school committee.
Right.
You know, that has its own controversies.
I heard they had a very long budget hearing or something, or that I know. I heard
there was some controversy.
I was listening to Symbol and Alana's podcast.
Yeah, I have not checked out the video.
Because usually you don't challenge budget things, not challenge or bring up issues, but yeah, somehow something came up.
There's some bad blood going on in the school committee, and
yes.
I choose not to follow it. So I only read about these things from afar.
I think a lot of it comes. Part of it was the Emily Dexter and that whole thing.
Right. Yeah. So they're trying to make controversy and then
pile gasoline
on the fires.
Equity and hiring and how many, legitimate things, but it's certainly got a flavor that isn't very nice.
You know, I was a city council candidate once upon a time. Mm-hmm. Don't think I'll do it again.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, it's not totally out of the picture. But the thing is, every once in a while I thought, I know a lot about education. I teach mathematics. Maybe I should run for the school committee, right? But, you know, honestly, I wouldn't last a week before losing my mind there. You know, I mean, I'd be sitting here arguing about what we need to do to improve mathematics instructions and raise standards so that everybody actually has a fighting chance to make get ahead in the world.
Yeah.
And they would just be continuing to argue nonsense.
Well, no, I think a lot of math stuff has come up.
Patty Nolan is one of the few people who's actually brought it up, you know, and there were some meetings about this some years ago, but I don't know if they're still doing those ones, but...
They haven't.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is that the school committees, it's not actually their job to put a heavy hand on the school administration on curriculum, but they do have a committee on curriculum, I think.
Yeah.
So that what they do is they often argue, the sort of social engineering aspects of things.
They do. Yeah,
point I've made and I'll continue to make is that the more they talk about achievement gaps and social equity, whatever, the further the gap widens. So I don't think that whatever they think they're doing, they're not doing well. You know, I think maybe if they focused on teaching, they'd probably do better.
You know what? I didn't know that all kids now go into honors classes freshman year. All kids.
Every kid gets a trophy?
No. It's called leveling up. Which means that you're all given a chance to do. I don't know.
Given a chance, but the thing is, ultimately, you have to sort of find what's going to work for them.
Yeah, I don't know what happens to second. Yeah. I mean, I really do not know a lot about what's going on.
Yeah,
in schools.
But I just think my patience, which is not famously great, would probably be very tested should I ever be on a school committee.
Mm.
I would say, why are we talking BS here? Mm-hmm. Can we just get into the business of education?
Yeah.
But it amuses them, apparently. So I don't know why anybody would want to be on the school committee right now, honestly. I really don't. I mean, sometimes it's parents because they've had experience as parents and they're concerned about how their child, as well as other like children, should be treated, I imagine. But
or they've gone through it. I mean, Lawrence Kimbrough.
Yeah.
His dad taught,
Right. But it just seems like its primary purpose these days seems to be to create and maintain and fuel controversy. And I figure, okay, great. But it's not for me. No. Not my cup of tea.
Probably don't want you there anyway.
They wouldn't want me there anyway. It's true. Right? So I'll just stick to teaching.
So the budget hearings are over.
Budget hearings are over.
They have to be final approval or something?
Yeah. There was one little controversy I think we might have mentioned last week about on the public celebrations budget.
Arts Council. Yeah.
So the thing is that they were wanting some information about
how they spend the money. Something about $200,000.
Yeah, and there's a kind of a subtext in there about, some city councilor are not happy for some decisions. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But
listen to Symbol and Alana's podcast. They go into the
floor. Yeah. So I don't know how that'll shake out, and I think I'm just assuming that there will be maybe it'll be pro forma where the the information will be provided, and then they'll pass the budget. And maybe one or two counselors will vote no on a particular budget.
That's next week, I think. Yeah, actually,
I think you can't.
You can't do anything at that point.
You basically in the committee you vote up or down on individual budgets, but once it goes to the city council, then they can debate it if they want, but they never do. But then you either vote up or vote down on the whole budget. And the school committee budget, you either vote the whole thing up or the whole thing down. You can't line item anything out. It's just not the way it works. I mean, you can, but if the entire body agrees to do that.
Okay.
So you can. The city council can remove funding to things, to budgets, right? Which would just lengthen the process and probably have the city manager come in with a supplemental item shortly thereafter. But anyway, so that's, I think the budget adoption formally should take place on May 20th, which is this next Monday.
Yeah, I was just trying to look that up.
You know, barring any...
Oh, so does it happen at the meeting?
Yeah. The thing is,
budget adoption. So there might be some public, who knows?
Oh, there'll be public comment, sure.
Yeah, about it.
There, by tradition, in relatively recent tradition, there are these big capital budget items that are done through bonding. You know, so they're loan authorizations. That since it's all part of the whole picture, even though it's not part of the operating budget, they have over the last bunch of years basically been voting those.
Yeah.
Simultaneous or in the same meeting as the budget adoption. So this coming Monday ideally should just be dominated by that. But the thing is, there's not much to do. All the talk has basically been done.
Yeah.
So they could just, you vote the water fund, you vote the city operating budget, you vote the capital budget, you vote the, school committee budget. Yeah. And then it's done, and it's most of the controversy or the difficult decision making happened long before the budget hearings even happened. So, and there is some indirect influence of city councilors in shaping those budgets, but it's still the manager's job to put in the budget. So I imagine that not a thing is going to be removed. And if anything, Louis will come in with a little sweetening of the pot at the very end to, satisfy people's political thirsts, which are unquenchable. And it always involves, give me more money. Give us more money for more stuff.
I'm going to throw this thing out, which is neither here nor there, but you know how we're always saying, Somerville does this, we should do that. Berkeley, if you look at what they pay their city councilors, it's a lot less.
A lot less, yeah.
Because I think I looked up Berkeley last year, and it's a lot less. In Somerville, it's barely anything. That's why.
Well, and they get ample staff. In fact, some staff
Cambridge City
Council happen to be city councilors in Somerville.
Still? I know.
Yes.
It's become a fiefdom. But
I mean, definitely.
I'm not saying some people don't really work hard, but it should not be what it is.
Yeah.
Who the hell do we think we are?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, actually, there were a few other items that happened in the city council last night that are maybe worth noting, even if briefly. I think we might have mentioned there's a proposal to do the quick build bike infrastructure.
Yeah. Yes.
Vision Zero, all the buzzwords.
From Sydney, on Mass Ave, from Putnam, where it meets Mass Ave, to Sydney Street.
Right, so there's some proposal, I'm not quite sure what treatment is being proposed along the piece of Mount Auburn Street, coming out of Harvard Square, where you hit Putnam.
Yeah.
All right.
That's part of it?
Personally, I would hope they wouldn't separate that out because it's a bus route.
Have done a lane where you turn right. And then when you go straight, right at that, that. So I don't know how they could even,
it's compromised.
All those big buses, those charter buses park there. And
there's a fair amount of traffic that gets
rather
through
there. No, they park there. Well. They're all the tourists in front,
Johnny on his bike wants to get through. You better get that bus out of my way, right? So anyway, so there's something is going to happen there. And now, since they did these bus lanes, these dedicated bus lanes from around Sydney Street down to the Memorial Drive by MIT, which is a mixed bag. The bus drivers will tell you this is terrible.
Wait, you're talking about the ones that have the stanchions or the
They did the separated one with the plastic pipe up.
From where to where?
From about Sydney Street down to Memorial Drive.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Okay.
And it works sometimes during the day, and other times of day it's nightmarish.
Okay.
And
all the buses, you're around there a lot, you see it.
The buses are always chronically behind schedule.
Hmm.
But, you know, as I say, sometimes during the day it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of compromises. So the advocates would like to, from Sydney Street going all the way through Central Square, past City Hall, all the way up to Putnam Square, which is right where Putnam Avenue meets.
So is that what so it means putting in stanchions there? Or
well, they say
What does quick build mean?
Quick build usually means,
quickly, right?
Well, I think of it, it's a political act. But it basically was popularized when Nadeem Mazen was on the city council. It says, let's rush something in through now so that we basically get our beachhead established so that you can't take it away from us, right?
Oh.
So that usually involves plastic, you know, PVC pipes bolted to the road. Sometimes it involves moving motor vehicles out from the curb, you know,
and
to create.
And then where do the buses go? That's a major bus.
Well, you push them out into the middle, but what it effectively does is let me just say that unless you decide, the real difficulty for a place like Central Square, and Patrick Barrett was quite vocal about this.
I was trying to remember what he said last time. That's what it was about. It was about mobility.
You know, it's one thing,
right?
You know, if you want to put cyclists like ahead of all other interests and have that be non-negotiable, that's one thing. But
Central Square has other interests.
There are bus stops and people waiting at the curb, getting in and on and off buses. You have to have the bus pull up to the curb.
Scooters.
All of these things. There's deliveries. I often have said on the Central Square Advisory Committee and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The curb is sort of like a counter. And, you know, you go up to a building, you want to buy something over the counter. It's a point of transaction. Having motor vehicles, parked vehicles being, you know, 10 feet out in the road while people are waiting on the curb and having to cross through a bike lane on a busy bus stop is ridiculous.
It's not safe either.
So you would have to move the bus stop to the curb in those places anyway. But what about the rest? Honestly, the only way they would try to do this is essentially to eliminate all parking in all
They'd have to take all parking away and only have bus and bike traffic.
And the occasional taxi drop off or whatever.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. And I don't think that the businesses are going to be particularly thrilled with
that. There's not that much parking, but I guess there are meters.
Listen, Councilor Zondervan at the meeting last night says, well, the future is we're going to have
no
cars permitted on in Central Square, no cars permitted in Harvard Square. He also went out of the bounds and said, no cars permitted in Davis Square. Mm.
And no plastics at all.
And no plastics at all. Right. So, you know.
I mean, I could live with this little square area not having. I mean, I could sort of see that work in a way.
You know, the thing is that you still need to put some people with motor vehicles.
You're still going to have deliveries.
I mean,
you're still going to have
the only way,
vehicles with wheels.
If you could convince the city mothers and fathers to rebuild the Green Street garage to go up and allow more parking and not jack the prices out of sight.
That'll never fly.
To
build more parking? Are you kidding?
Well, and they're taking away one of these days parking in the other side of Central Square because eventually there'll be some housing or something will be built in the parking lots facing Bishop Allen Drive.
Oh, all those parking lots that are basically,
You know, but, you know, and I don't know that we need as much parking as we have. I know that there are times when it's really compromised. It's just an impossibility.
And where are you going to put the autonomous vehicles when they finish their trip? They're supposed to go out. Remember that meeting we went to?
They
go out 15 miles and park in the suburbs?
Right.
I don't think so.
Well, you know,
the
futurists all think they understand this stuff, and I think they're nuts. They don't know this at all. They don't really know what happens. And you know, and there's still the person, if you want to go to a hardware store and you are traveling between things and you just want to drop off to go and pick up something at a hardware store, and then they just have to say, well, there's no way you're going to be able to park within a quarter mile of the hardware store, then guess what? You're going to Home Depot. You're not going to
the hardware store. Well, but you know what? I think people already...
I mean, foot traffic is one thing.
I think, I don't know how many people park in front of, like, Economy, or not even here anymore, or what's the other one? Pill Hardware. I think it's more.
I think it is. But the thing is, it's not exclusively.
No, but I do think less and less people are. I mean, even if I need something, I'd probably go. Well, I used the Target out, and I have a car, so I'll go out. It's only 2 miles away.
Right. You know? But I think that's the concern with some of the business owners is that that's what people will do.
You know, at a key made, yeah, you'll go to a local, but I think that's been going on for Inman years
Square
now.
What a key made, Inman Square
Well,
Harbor.
You live near there, and I live near here, or Tags. Right. Tags is in the Porter Square Shopping Center, and that's a great place.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
So anyway, that was a bit of a controversy, but it wasn't an action item. It was more like, let's refer this to the manager. Come up with a plan. Are you going to do outreach this time, which they didn't do last time?
Right, that was brought up Denise and Alana.
Multiple counselors. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is I think in retrospect, some people regret some decisions made for both Cambridge Street as well as Brattle Street.
Yeah. No, Jan Devereaux was pretty clear on that, that she admitted that it had not been done.
Yeah, yeah. So doing it right would be appropriate, you know, but you know, there is definitely the chance this could become yet another inflammatory summer meeting of the Cambridge City Council.
Oh goodness!
Where they come back on this thing, and then somebody exercises their charter right, and then everybody goes maniac about it. I hope not. Honestly, I just want good things to happen. You know, the other truth is, and I've been making this point, and a lot of bicycle safety people I know, going back 20 years, have said this, is that if you really want to have a good, you have to think about a whole system. And Mass Ave, if you just singularly focus on Mass Ave and don't pay any attention to Bishop Allen or Green Street and Franklin as more quiet bicycle thoroughfares, you really are kind of missing out on some opportunities. Mm. You know, the thing is that Mass Ave has to accommodate buses. It has to accommodate through traffic. It is one of the few connecting roads to Boston. Mm-hmm. Sorry, they're not going to be building any new bridges anytime soon.
It is wider though than Green Street.
Right, but the thing is, I will tell you that back in the 1990s when we had our meetings, we went from, it's funny because Dennis Carlone got this wrong at the meeting last night. He said they removed a travel lane back in the 90s.
Yeah.
We removed two, actually. Oh. It used to be two parking lanes and five lanes of traffic.
On Mass Ave?
In Mass Ave. It was three lanes one way, two lanes other. There were other parts where it narrowed a bit, but the thing is that it was a lot wider.
Because there were no bike lanes.
There were no bike lanes.
And there were they made the sidewalks wider.
We pushed the sidewalks out. We added an extra row of trees.
Wow.
We took away travel lines. Travel lanes. Huh. We did it all with traffic consultants based on where the choke points were. So fundamentally, there were places that were always choke points, and we kind of moved them around a little bit.
And people were not on bicycles back then?
They were. Sure they were.
In the 90s?
But they weren't so insistent on having their own separate turf. But
the whole generation wasn't born yet.
Right.
They were bikes.
Yeah.
You have a lot more young people working in high tech.
So the thing is that I would certainly argue that there are a lot of times during the week when, in fact, traffic is pretty choked on Mass Ave.
Oh.
A lot of times of day and a lot of days of the week, even on weekends sometimes. So,
look at this guy trying to, God, look at this.
As we speak,
we're seeing a guy turn around in one lane.
They're doing U-E's, banging U-E's right
now. Because now you have one
lane
going up
and
one lane going back now because of the construction here. Right?
The construction is pretty challenging, but we'll see what happens when that's all done.
Yeah.
But the thing is that either you're going to have Mass Ave become a two-lane road, like a country road with one lane going to Boston and one lane coming back.
With the horses.
Or you're going to remove parking lanes, turning them into bike facilities.
That's what's
going to
happen, you know.
Well, I think that'll be the push, but then what do you do about the loading? What do you do about
Well, you have to have loading zones. I mean, I could live with that. I mean, I really do think I'd rather see businesses get their deliveries and
right, but those loading zones can't be everywhere. There are trucks of certain sizes.
Well, they have to be shared then. Shared.
Well,
with,
they are already.
Buses
are
aren't there all the time.
No, they're not.
If
it was up to me, there's nothing wrong with having the place be a loading zone for part of the day, or occasionally, and then. At other times, have it be sort of a bike-only facility.
That's true.
But some of the cyclist advocates, they don't want to hear about the possibility of sharing their space. So, I think that's not fair. But that's kind of the way the politics is going these days. So anyway, one other thing that was a controversy that brought out quite a few people during public comment.
I know, and
you're
talking about the seal?
Yeah, so this is something that was actually
But you're only getting this from Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm just one.
So how do you know Wikipedia is right?
I don't know that, but I'm just saying.
But you said here's what they say on the subject, and
right?
It seems to me that that needs to be more research, because there's certainly a lot of people that did not see
right.
This.
So, but the way I look at it is that
you know, a picture. Let's show the picture.
Yeah, sure. So
can we enlarge it at all?
Not really.
Let me see if I can just zoom in a little bit.
Actually, that seal might be blow upable. I'm not sure if you click on it every number. But anyway, the seal there for Commonwealth of Massachusetts, it's actually gone through quite a few iterations. So if you look, you can find different versions of this.
Oh, there it is. Oh, look at that.
Way back when.
I don't know what I did, but there it is.
Right. So anyway, I won't go through all the particulars about it.
Okay. So this is an Algonquin Indian right here.
I believe so. Yeah.
Holding a what?
A bow.
Okay. Right? And what's the white star symbol?
Beats me. Beats me.
Oh, I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I think this is an objection up here, right? It looks like there's
right, but it's a very old symbolism about peace through the sword, you know, achieving.
I mean,
peace
I think it's actually saying we are. I mean, isn't Massachusetts an Indian name? My daughter brought it. Is that from
Massachusetts?
Yeah.
In fact,
it says Massachusettensis, or is that Latin?
Well, that's just
I guess.
Latin. Yeah.
I don't think it seems to be honoring our native.
I think it's simply recognizing that there are Native American roots in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
In fact, throughout Massachusetts, as well as the other settlers who came through here, and then they did achieve peace and whatever. But I'll just say here that you can read some sources who basically say, well, this is relatively neutral. Other people will pick out only the most inflammatory aspects of the of interpretation and say this is truth. So it's kind of like a he said, she said aspect about what this really represents.
Mm.
So, you know, the city council order was basically saying city council goes on in support of a move at the state legislature to change this. The one thing I found, so that's been going on for a few years, you know, and I don't think that's all that shocking. And if the city councils all want to get on board in support of that, great, knock yourself out. But one thing I thought was very weird last night was one of our city councilors, because I think one person said she was offended.
It was her neighbor's daughter.
When she would see this flag.
She got upset.
Right, she got upset.
Yeah.
So it was, in fact, suggested that the flag of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which is an American flag, state flag, and a city insignia, and all these official meetings, that they said, can we just hide it in the green room?
They had this ask for a solicitor's opinion on this.
I don't know what the city solicitor would come back and say about it, but I said, you know, come on, let's just get a little serious. If you want to, you know, it's a symbol, it's in a flag, you can ruffle it, turn the flag a certain way
so somebody doesn't see it, come on,
get serious.
So
there are points like when we had the city council pass an order some years ago, you know, calling on the sort of the deposing Muammar Gaddafi, where it kind of makes us just look silly. So if you want to lobby the state to do this, but don't hide the flag in the green room. I mean, give me a break.
Well, I don't think they're going to do that.
No, I don't think they're going to do it.
What is the city? Do we have a seal for the city? Do we have a?
We do.
What does that look like?
The seal of the city of Cambridge. Actually, there are plenty of examples of it there.
Where?
Whenever I do a posting of openings for boards further down, it actually has a symbol of Gore Hall, which is a building that doesn't even exist, that used to be on the Harvard campus. That's actually featured. In the area.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. So if you look over here, the symbol for the city of Cambridge.
Okay. So it's actually, is it Harvard? Is that
it's a building that was at Harvard. It was Gore Hall.
Oh.
And I don't know why that ended up as part of the symbol. Maybe just some, you know, the Harvard people had a lot of, Harvard was a pretty
I mean, why don't people object to Harvard being our city symbol?
they could.
So this,
Give
wait,
them
is
long
that
enough,
still
they
exist?
Will.
This looks like a church.
Don't worry, there's a tree in the picture, so Quentin Zonnegan is going to love the
symbol.
Stop
it, wait a minute. What are these, which building is this?
That's
this
Gore Hall. Like, it's actually...
It looks like Memorial Church, no?
Gore Hall is no longer there. It was demolished, and I believe the Widener Library is located now where Gore Hall stood.
Because this almost has a church-like appearance. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you can go crazy over symbols, or you can focus on substantive stuff.
Wow.
So, Anyway, speaking of, since that was on an announcement about a board and commission, they reopened the call for applicants for like the various transportation related commissions, like bicycle committee, pedestrian committee, transit committee.
Oh, yeah, I see that, yeah.
Actually,
May 17th, deadline, that's this week.
So it's, so they extended it, but it's coming up pretty soon, right? But anyway, the thing I was going to mention in these last minutes or so here was that John Pitkin actually got up at the council meeting during the public comment last night.
Yeah, I forgot and what he said too.
And he, you know, and I don't know what was spurred it, but I think it was about the discussion about the complete streets or Vision Zero or whatever for, you know, whether you should be prioritizing bicycle traffic or pedestrians or whatever.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that some years ago there was something, it was called the, I think it was called the Transportation Advisory Committee or something of that sort. It was some years ago.
And?
I have it written somewhere. I can't find it now.
And what was his point?
So it was formed by back in the 1970s, and it was staffed by the city. And it was actually Henrietta Davis who was working for the city at the time that actually served as staff. And it took more of a holistic view of transportation, made recommendations that actually influenced the alignment of the red line even. And one of the things that I think is really, really missing now is that we have balkanized transportation discussion.
Bicycle, pedestrian,
The bicycle committee argues why bicycle is king. The pedestrians say, no, no, pedestrian is king. And then the transit says transit is king. And there's no committee on motor vehicle traffic, even though some people have been known to drive here, too.
Right.
So, you know, I think maybe having a more comprehensive view of transportation advocacy and planning is overdue.
Yes, that would make sense.
You know, and so if you're going to apply to all these individual committees, knock yourself out. Yeah. But I really think we need to get the city manager involved in a conversation about doing this a little more holistically. And that
isn't there a mobility? Wouldn't that cover?
Yeah, maybe it will. You know, we'll see. So.
Anyway, the Envision report came out. We didn't mention
that. Yeah, that too.
Next week we'll talk about it.
All right. So anyway, see you next week on Cambridge Inside Out.